soul. Thank you, Sister Tiffany. Well, I don't know about you, but I was getting close to it. Amen. That was a blessing, my soul. And every day that sounds a little better, doesn't it? My goodness. Well, we got an awesome preacher. Brother Al Stone's going to be preaching for us tonight. And if you want to come on up, make your way up here. And before he preaches, I was just notified that we got some people back here from the Netherlands. Is that correct? Amen. Praise God. Glad to have you. That's a long ways to go. Just to hear the preaching here at Landmark. Amen. Good to see you. Brother Al Stone's a long ways away, too. He's from Canada. It's not quite as far as you, though. Come on up and preach this, brother.
Thank you so much. I'll say to our friends from the Netherlands, Heil Hoed. Glambecha. Glambecha, Hans Braten. Yeah. You never know what's going to come out of Canada, do you? To the two gentlemen that are here, I'll say, Moya Bena. Yeah, that means nice legs. Don't ask me how I know that or why I'd ever say that, but you never know. Good to have you here. We had a gentleman from the Netherlands who helped us build our building, and he was 70 years old. He grew up in the Catholic Church and had trusted Christ as a Savior later on and was a part of my home church and was a great guy. We started into the building program, and the gentleman that had originally started as our project manager said, I've got to leave you. He was a Christian school teacher. He said, I thought we'd be done by the fall. He said, we've gotten over time. He said, I've got to go. And I said, what are we going to do? And he said, well, I don't know. I got to go. So there was a gentleman from my church. His name was Theo Rust. And he was a bricklayer. He said, I can finish this building for you. And I said, you're a bricklayer. What do you know about building buildings? He goes, I've built all kinds of buildings. He helped us finish that building. It turned out great. And he was a huge blessing. So I love the Netherlands for that. And also, we have strong ties, Canada and the Netherlands. We have strong ties because of the Second World War. And we receive, I think it's 1 million tulip bulbs every year from the Netherlands for our part in helping to liberate the Netherlands in the Second World War. So God bless you. Thank you for being here tonight. I hope you have a wonderful time. This is a great church. I love this church. I've been preaching in this church, I figured the other day, for 20 years. I started when I was 7, and still going at it at 27 years of age. So I wish I could tell you that. I've been pastoring the Bible Baptist Church in St. Thomas, Ontario for 30 years. And one of the very first engagements I ever had as a young man to preach outside of Canada was here in Haines City. I was up at a youth conference in Canada. Brother Phil Stringer was there. And some of you remember Brother Stringer. And I led the music. And he said, I want you to come down. We're doing a youth conference to help draw some attention for the college. And we want you to come and lead the music. So I came the first year and led the music. And then they asked me the next year to come back and preach. And so that was a great, great honor. I'm always honored to be able to come. I actually was hoping to hear Dr. Carter preach tonight. I told him I was coming. And I said, I'm looking forward to hearing you preach. It's been a while. And he said, oh, he said, I'm going to be away. And I said, oh, man, I'm so disappointed. And he said, would you like to preach? I said, oh, no, preacher, no, listen, that's okay. He says, well, it's either you or Colin Morton. I said, I'll preach. How many of you are glad for that tonight? Say amen. Come on, amen. I love Leah Morton, don't you? Isn't she one of the sweetest girls? I love her to death. Colin, ugh. I love him too. He's a great young man. We become dear friends. And I love that couple very, very much. They're near and dear to my heart, and they're beautiful baby. Oh, man, I've seen her all over Instagram. I've seen 5,000 pictures of that baby. Now get to see her live. So that was awesome. So it's good. Good to see some great friends here. Joey Gambino. Where's Joey? Where's Joe at? Joey's in the back. Joey Gambino, for those of you visiting, part of the Gambino family. Just coming out of witness protection program now, all right? So, Joey, it's good to see you out and around and not running for your life. Amen. That's been good. One of the first times I ever preached here as well, one of my first experiences, I preached out at the camp. Yeah. Oh, coming from Canada to Florida in July. We love to come in February. That's our time to come. February, March, great time. This is a little late for us, but we had a long winter. Our first snowfall this year was the last week of October, and the last snowfall we had was just a couple weeks ago. We almost had to cancel a church service for an ice storm that came through, so we are so glad to be here and to see that big round thing in the sky. That's awesome. Vitamin D levels are coming up now, but I preached at the camp. I saw my first palmetto bug at the camp here in Haines City. Never in my life did I ever imagine there was a bug that big in my life. I rode the thing back and forth from camp to the motel. I walked in that camp. I stayed in the whatever that's called out there, Poetess Pit, the motel. Yeah, it's the motel, that's it. Whew. I walk in there, I thought, what have I got myself into? I walk in, I thought, well, this isn't too bad. There's a bed with three rats on it. There's dirty socks. Joey Gambino said, hey, those are my socks from last year. I go into the bathroom, and here's a palmetto bug in the sink. I just about had a heart attack. I had never seen a bug that big in my life. We don't have those in Canada. We love winter for that reason. We don't have the bugs or the snakes. I'm not a snake guy either. But it is so good to be back. I do wish Dr. Carter was here. I love him. He's been a dear, dear friend of mine for a long time. And many of you tonight, good to see you again. God bless you. Take your Bibles tonight, if you would. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. I have some friends who are listening by radio tonight. They weren't able to be in the service. They said, we'll be listening to you. We have some dear friends here in Florida, in the southern part of Florida. Some of you remember Brother Tim Hawkins. I was just with Brother Tim up in New Hampshire. Preached up there a revival and a youth conference for him. He's doing great, him and Mandy. And the church is coming along up there, having a good time. I said, how'd you enjoy the winter? They said, it was cold. And so trying to get him used to that. And that was awesome. So a lot of good things going on from this part of the world. I want to do something a little bit different tonight. I'm going to get you to help me if you would. If you found 1 Peter chapter 3, just hold on to that for a second. I want to do this tonight. I wonder if you would do this. I wonder if you would bow your head and close your eyes and listen very carefully to what I'm about to ask you. I'm going to ask you a series of questions, six questions. I'm going to get you to answer tonight by raising your hand. I need you to be honest, completely honest. I want you to be very transparent tonight. This is between you and I and the Lord, no one else. I'm going to ask you some questions tonight. And in asking these questions, it'll help to determine where this message is going to go in your life. I want to ask you tonight, how many of you can say, in good conscience, I'm a born-again believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. I know Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. If you can say that tonight in good conscience, would you hold your hand high into the air all over this auditorium? Hold it up for just a minute. Hold it for just a moment. God bless you. Thank you so much. You can put your hands down. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, because sometimes if we think if our privacy is broken, we can't be honest. I want you to be honest. This is for your benefit. How many of you tonight in like manner would say, I'm a Christian desiring to please and serve the Lord Jesus Christ? Not only am I born again, but I have a strong desire in my life to please and serve the Lord Jesus Christ. If that's you tonight, would you hold your hand high into the air tonight and hold it for just a moment? God bless you. Thank you so much. You can put your hands down. Question number three is, I am free from habitual vices of this world. I'm free of habitual vices in this world. That would be smoking, drinking, drugs, immorality of all kind, those things that cling to our lives and draw us into a worldly existence. How many of you say tonight, preacher, I am free from habitual vices of this world. Would you hold your hand high in the air tonight? God bless you. In good conscience. Now this is where it gets a little tougher. In good conscience, I am called of God. God called me to preach, to teach, to be a missionary, to be a bus captain, to be a Sunday school teacher, to be a deacon in the church. God called me, and I am answering that call to the best of my ability. Would you hold your hand high in the air tonight and say, yes, in good conscience, I can say that. Thank you so much. I want to let you know that the hands are beginning to fail. That's all right, though. Here's number five. I'm trying my best to make my Savior, my spouse, my parents, my family, my friends, and our church proud of my ministry. Let me say that again. I'm trying my best in good conscience to make my Savior, my spouse, my parents, my family, my friends, and our church proud of my ministry. Would you hold your hand high into the air tonight? God bless you. Thank you. Last one. Preacher, I can say in good conscience, with all my heart, with no reserve, with no hesitation, with no deceit, I am real. I am a real deal Christian. There is no facade to me. There is no pretense to me. I am a real deal, 100% solid, love the Lord, going forward, Christian. Would you hold your hand high into the air tonight? Amen. And God bless you. Put your hands down. Look up here, would you? Maybe tonight you couldn't say yes to all of those things. Maybe you couldn't say yes to a few of those things. Maybe you couldn't say yes to any of those things tonight. But there are many in Christianity who do, and I have to tell you that many times they are not so real. They are fake. Your president has coined that term, fake news, and uses it often. And it's become very popular, and it's become very true about a lot of things. There are a lot of fake news Christians. There are a lot of people who say, yes, I'm born again, I know Jesus Christ, but they don't really live the Christian life. Oh, yes, I'm a Christian, but when it comes down to it, they are not the real deal of Christianity. They are up and down and in and out. They struggle. They get upset with simple little things, and they struggle in that Christian life. Are you a real deal Christianity, or are you a fake tonight? Or maybe tonight you're a fraud. Maybe you put on a facade tonight. Maybe your parents think that you're a good Christian because you go to a Christian school, or maybe they think you're a good Christian because you go to a Christian college, or maybe they think you're a good Christian because you have a big Bible, or maybe they think you're a good Christian because you say amen in church, but in your heart of hearts, you know you're a fraud. You know that you're playing a game. And listen, I'm telling you today, in Christianity, there's a lot of people playing the game. You don't have to go very far in the United States or Canada to find out that people are not a real deal Christian today. They're living a portion of their lives, but they're not sold out completely to the cause of Jesus Christ. They will serve Christ until it's no longer convenient. They'll serve Christ until it's no longer comfortable, and then they find another place to go. I don't know about this church, but I'm sure like many churches across our nations, there are many people who are leaving good churches like ours. Solid Bible preaching, good music, love the Lord, soul winning, sold out to Christ. There are people leaving churches like ours and going to churches where there's very little commitment. There's very little pressure upon you to really live that Christian life. You just come and get what you want and leave as you want, and everything's okay. I want to tell you today, I see a movement of that in our nations today. There are a lot of Christians who are not that sold out, real deal Christian. Maybe tonight you're a fake, you're a fraud, or maybe tonight you're just an out-and-out liar. Our text tonight asks this question: can you in good conscience, I really believe today there are many who have a seared conscience, or they have an altered conscience. They don't have a clear conscience in a lot of things that they do. If I was to pull out your tax information that you just filed not too long ago, in good conscience, were you honest? In good conscience, did you open the Word of God this week and get into it and study it and draw out from the Word of God? In good conscience, how much time did we really spend in prayer? In good conscience, how are we really studying the Word of God to be able to preach it later on in our lives? In good conscience, are we really the wife or the husband that we should be? In good conscience, are we setting the right example for our children? You see, all of that is part of the Christian life. And all of that should be drawn into the things of Jesus Christ. Somebody asked me, my nephew just asked me this week. He said, Uncle Al, he said, tell me what you believe is the essence of what you preach, or what's the focal point of your preaching? And I said this, the difference in my preaching and a preaching of a pastor like this church would be this. We don't just believe in knowing God or in knowing Jesus Christ. We believe in having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. If you agree with that, say amen. Amen. That's the difference. Some people ask all the time, what's the difference between our church and the Roman Catholic Church, or our church and a Presbyterian church, or our church? I say this, we believe in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. It's not just knowing God. It's having God at the core of our lives. Our life is Jesus Christ. That's the real deal Christian. Amen. Tonight in good conscience. Is that the kind of Christian you are? Look at our text tonight in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 16. It says this, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. Now, here's what that means. I'm going to use Brother Morton tonight as an example. If I said to you tonight, Colin Morton is a drug addict, how many of you would believe that tonight? Well, I would. No, I'm just kidding. You wouldn't believe that. If I said Colin Morton is a wife abuser, you wouldn't believe that. If you know Colin Morton, he loves his wife. And if he was, I'd kill him. Colin Morton is a liar, no good thief. That guy's wicked. You wouldn't believe that. You know Colin Morton. He's a real deal. He's a real deal. Our passage tonight is saying this. If people in your community, if people in your office, if people in your home began to say things about you and your testimony against the things of Christ, would it stick? You know, we talk about preachers all the time. One of the qualifications of the preacher is that he's to be blameless, right? You agree with that? Very important. You know what that means? It's the same idea as Teflon. Some of you ladies have Teflon pans. You buy those no-stick coated pans. And you buy that and you put an egg in it and you fry it up and it slides right out of the pan. Doesn't stick. Blameless means it doesn't stick. You bring an accusation, it doesn't stick. Are you tonight in good conscience someone that if someone brought a railing accusation against you, it wouldn't stick? It's Teflon. It slides off. They're not loyal to the things of Christ. Doesn't stick. They don't read the Bible. Doesn't stick. They don't speak ill of others in the church. Doesn't stick. They don't criticize, or they criticize other people. Doesn't stick. See what I'm saying? In good conscience. Now, there are people in this world who speak ill of others all the time. There are probably people in this church that have spoken ill of you and me. And we do it, and this is how we do it. This is how we do it. God bless them. Oh, God bless them. They're good people, but when that word pops up, you know you got trouble coming next. Oh, bless their hearts. That's a great Southern phrase down here. Bless their heart. That Al Stone's as fat as a pig, bless his heart. As long as you say bless your heart, you can say whatever you want. That's not true. That's not true. That doesn't justify what you're about to say. Are we careful in those things? What in your life could maybe default you by being able to live in a good conscience, having a good conscience that whereas they speak evil of you as evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse you of your good conversation with Christ. You run around and say that Colin Morton's a no good guy. Shame on you. Shame on, that's not true. Shame on you. But what if that was true? What if people say things and it is true? That guy's not good to his wife. That guy's not good to his children. That woman is she's just not a good woman. In good conscience tonight, can you say, I am a born-again believer? I'm a Christian desiring to please and serve the Lord. I'm free from habitual vices of the world. I'm called of God, answering that call. I'm trying my best to make my Savior, my spouse, my parents, my family and friends, church proud of my ministry. I'm the real deal of Christianity in good conscience. Let me ask tonight, in good conscience, can you in good conscience say you're a Christian? You're a Christian. Now, I know this church well enough to know that your preacher preaches salvation. Associates preach salvation. College preaches salvation. Radio preaches salvation. By the way, God bless WLVF. I listen to all the time in Canada. I have a number of folks who listen to it in Canada with me. We love it. I listen to every Sunday morning at least. I get it through the week, but Sunday morning, as I'm getting ready for church, that's what I'm listening to. So I'm kind of keeping tabs on what you're doing here. I love it. And so In this church, I would say that most of you, when you raise your hand tonight, I would say that probably 90, 95, 99% of this crowd raise their hand and said, yes, I am a born-again believer in Jesus Christ. In good conscience, can you say that? Well, tonight, if you put your hand up and lied, you got a problem. You got a problem. Because the truth is, if you put your hand up and said, oh, yes, I'm a Christian, and you're not, the only person you're really deceiving is yourself. You're not going to deceive God. God knows the answer to that question. God knows the truth of your heart. And you may be a teenager tonight, or you might be a child tonight, or you might be an older adult tonight, and be living your whole life in a lie, in good conscience, a clear conscience before God. Can you say, I am a born-again believer in Jesus Christ? If you can tonight, I've got a solution for you. At the conclusion of the service, we're going to have what's called a public invitation. I'm going to invite you to come and know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Someone will take a Bible and show you clearly from the Bible tonight how you can have Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You can receive or reject that tonight, but at least come and find out what it's all about, because it's a matter of life and death. in good conscience, are you a born-again believer? Let me give you this quickly because I know most of you are Christians tonight. John 3:3 says, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. John 14:6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. It's not through your good works. It's not by your church attendance. It's not by being Baptist. It's by being saved and knowing Jesus Christ in that personal relationship. Romans chapter 10, 9, 11, and 13, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from condemnation. Saved from an eternity of hell. Saved from that punishment of God for those who blaspheme the Holy Ghost by rejecting his free offer of salvation. God didn't want anyone to perish. He made it available for all to be saved. For whosoever shall come shall be saved. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You know what I don't see much of anymore? Those old type conversions where people really got saved. You know what I'm talking about? This sounds old, and maybe it is. It sounds maybe old school. But I remember when people got saved. They came forward. Men would take their cigarette packs, put them on the altar, say, I'm done. No more. I quit. Drunkard, take his bottles and throw it away. That's it. I'm done. I got Jesus. Got the Holy Spirit. They say, preacher, what do I need to do next? You need to get baptized. They get in the tank. Man, baptize them right after they got saved. They come to church. They say, preacher, what do I need to do next? You need to tithe. You need to get discipled. Need to get under some tutelage. And they would do that. And within a few months, those people would be almost ready to teach Sunday school. And today you preach and you got to beg people to come forward and get saved. You got to plead with them to get baptized. You got to go week after week after week and try to prove yourself. And people come and they make a profession and they last a few weeks and you never see them again. Or they come and they spend a little bit of time until things get tough and then they fall away. Some of you have been here a long time. Some of you have been here for years, decades. And you just come and do the same thing and serve God and be faithful and do what's right. I was preaching up in Salina, Ohio. And a couple came up to me. They were sitting in the back row. And they came up to me and they said, we know you. We remember you from preaching at Landmark. And I said, that's right. And they said, we haven't been down there for a few years. Oh, we love Lambert. We love Dr. Carter. We love going down there. We haven't been able to go the last few years. They said, we just love that church. It's never changing. It's a good testimony. It's a good testimony. Folks, I want to tell you that if you get saved, there ought to be a change in your life. There ought to be something different. In good conscience tonight, what has passed away of that old man in your life, and what new are you taking on in the things of Jesus Christ? Many of us get saved and we get in a rut. Many of us get saved and you think, well, I don't do some of those worldly things anymore, so I'm okay. But that's not it. That's not the end of Christianity. That's not the end of salvation. We take on that new man of Jesus Christ. Every day we ought to be moving towards those things of Christ. My nephew, I told him, I said, hey, we got to have a personal relationship in Jesus Christ. And then I said this, every day we ought to be taking off more of us and putting on more of Jesus Christ. What's the last thing you put on of Jesus Christ? What's the last change you had in your life that moved you closer to Jesus Christ? What is it? Got some young men sitting over here tonight, sitting up here about the fifth, sixth row. Fellas, I'm not going to ask you tonight, but if I was to ask you tonight, what's the last great change that Jesus Christ made in your life? Could you think of something? Or would you say, this is what young people say today, meh, just going through the motions, just doing what I'm supposed to do. My parents aren't mad at me, going to school, just doing what I'm supposed to do. Not getting a lot of trouble. How's your Christian life? Meh. Shouldn't the Christian life be, oh man, preacher, I'm telling you what, God gave me something from the Word today. I got on my knees and talked to God, and He spoke back to me. God allowed me to tell somebody about Jesus Christ, and this person got saved, and I brought him down the aisle, and they went through the tank, and I'm discipling them. And oh man, God has been so good. He's been so awesome. I'm telling you, I can't get enough of the things. And I come to church, and the preaching is setting me on fire. I got to hear some great music tonight. God's doing, shouldn't that be the Christian life? But it's not for many. It's not for many. In good conscience, can you say, I truly am born again? And then I would ask, what evidence do you provide of that undeniable change? Would others be ashamed of lying if they said you weren't a Christian? Would they be ashamed? Let me ask the people where you work. Is that guy a Christian? Is that lady a Christian? Is that person you've sat next to for these number of years, are they a born-again believer? Wouldn't it be sad if they said, I don't know. I really couldn't tell you. Or wouldn't it be sad if they said, they're a Christian? You got to be kidding me. That's no Christian. Oh, my. In good conscience tonight, would you be the person they say, oh, yes. Oh, yes, they have prayed for me. They invite me to church all the time. They've had me over to their home. They've opened the Bible. They've given me tracts. They pray for my soul. They do all kinds. That's a Christian right there. That's what we should be. In good conscience, can you say you're consecrated? You're consecrated. The word consecrated means accomplished, confirmed, set apart. Now here's the thing in Christianity. To be saved is awesome. It's great. And most of us tonight would say we're saved. If you're saved tonight, say amen. Amen. Great to be saved, isn't it? Amen. But how many of us have consecrated ourselves? How many of us have been set apart by God for something greater than just being a Christian? If just being a Christian was all we really needed, I mean, it'd be great. It'd be great just to be saved. But I got to tell you this, I'm not that kind of player. I love hockey. I'm still playing. I'm 54 years of age. I'll be 55 in August. I still play. I just played 2 weeks ago. It was the last game of the season. I play ice hockey on Thursday nights. I love it. I'm not what I used to be. I'm even better. No, I'm not. I love it. When I play hockey, to me, every game is the Stanley Cup. If you don't know what the Stanley Cup is, you ain't right. It is the oldest trophy in sport. It is the trophy in sport. I see a lady clapping down here. Do you love hockey? Do you love hockey, ma'am? Who do you cheer for? Yeah, what's your team? Oh. In good conscience, shouldn't you be a Leafs fan? Oh, my goodness. She's from Canada? Come forward right now, ma'am. Come around. I'm going to pray with you. Ma'am, what's your name? Joan Miller. Joan, after the service, we need to talk. This man has corrupted you. Anybody from Canada cheers for either the Montreal Canadiens, which we don't cheer for, or the Toronto Maple Leafs, who just got beat out of the Stanley Cups. Women, be silent in church. I asked for it. See those Canadian women? They're feisty, man. I'll tell you what. That's why we send the bad ones to Florida. Well, the truth of the matter is, it doesn't matter what team it is. They're all Canadians on it anyway, so. Consecrated, set apart. When I play hockey, I play to win. Man, I love. Now, if I lose, that's all right. As long as I play my hardest and we've done our best, it's great. My team this year, I play in a league and we have eight teams. I played for the Boston Bruins. I know. They randomly put you on a team playing for Boston. I'll tell you what, some of the nicest guys I've ever met. We had the best time playing this year, and I want to tell you what, we did really well. We ended up eighth out of eight teams. We were the last place team. Last place. But we had the least amount of goals against, meaning that our defense was awesome. Guess what position I play? I play defense. I love it. I'm not a very big guy. I'm 5'9". I weigh about 175 pounds. With my equipment on, it's a little more, and I'm wearing it tonight. Man, I get out there, and I play against some big guys. Man, I'm standing out in front of that goal, and nobody's going to get the puck past me. I mean, they're not scoring when I'm on the ice. And the guys on my team know I'm a preacher, and that's sometimes a good thing, and sometimes not a good thing. I was out there one night, and this guy's standing in front of the net, and the puck came to, and I shoved him, and he fell down. And I got a penalty. And I had to go to what we refer to in Canada, the sin bin, the penalty box. So I come off of the penalty box, I come in, and the guy said, "Hey, preacher, what's going on out there?" I said, "The guy was in front of the net. I thought he was going to take the shot." "You knocked him down." I said, "That's right." And one guy said this, "What are you playing for? The Stanley Cup?" And I said, "Yes, I am. Every time I go out, I'm playing. I want to be set apart. I want to be that guy that gives 110%. I want to be that guy that wants to play. I can't do this. I can't sit on the bench and watch other guys skate up and down the ice. I can't stand it. If I have to miss a shift, if I have to sit out, I can't stand it. If there's a power play and I have an opportunity to skate again, I'm the guy saying, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go. I've got my foot up over the board. I'm ready to go." And they often say, "That's okay. We want someone good to go. But I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go." Set apart. I'm a player. Hey, in Christianity, I don't want to just sit on the bench. I don't want to just sit by and watch other people go. Oh, they're going on visitation tonight. Yeah, I'm not. Oh, they're having a youth activity. Yeah, I'm not going to that either. Oh, special service. They're having a revival. Yeah, I'm too busy. That's not me. Man, I want to be at everything. I want to be at everything the church has got going on. I want to see what's happening. If there's new people there, I want to meet them. If there's some chance to tell somebody about Jesus Christ, I want to take that opportunity. Is that the kind of Christian you are tonight? Consecrated? The word consecrated means accomplished, confirmed, or set apart. That's a term given to those who are wholeheartedly offering themselves to the Lord. "Lord, I'm available. What do you want me to do?" These young people that are called from the college, "God, I'm ready to, I don't know what you want me to do yet, but I'm ready to go. You call me, my bags are packed. I am ready to go. I am one to serve you." That's what it means. Now, Hezekiah addresses the congregation of Israel in 2 Chronicles 29:31 and declares them atoned for their sins. They had been forgiven. They could now come worthily before God to offer sacrifices to him. They could approach God with confidence and offer free will offerings. They had already given thanks and peace offerings, which were given and then a portion returned to them that they might eat the remainder with their family and friends in a time of rejoicing. That's a picture of salvation. God says, I'm going to let you give that offering. I'm going to let you come and know Christ, and then I'm going to give you something to take home with you to share with your family and friends. Mom and dad, I got saved. Brother and sister, I got saved. Neighbor, I got saved. Co-worker, I got saved. And I want you to know about Jesus Christ, and I want to give you a portion of what God has given to me. I want to give you that salvation by giving you that plan of salvation. But there's another offering, and that offering was the free will burnt offering. It was a gift given to God that would be fully consumed on the altar with no remain. The free will burnt offering is a picture of the saint fully consumed with the call of God on their lives. I am giving it and I expect nothing back. I'm giving it and there's nothing in return. I am giving my life fully consecrated, set apart to God. And I want to tell you that in most of our churches tonight, most people are saved, but they are not consecrated. God, I'll give, but only what I think I should give. God, I'll go, but only to the extent that I think I should go. God, I'll do what is possible, but I cannot trust you for what is impossible. And they're not consecrated. In good conscience tonight, folks, are you one of those who are consecrated to the things of God? God, I'm just take all that I've got. take my time, take my energy, take my resources, take my mind, take my heart, take my family, take everything I've got. And God, let's use it for your honor and for your glory. You've allowed me to give a free will offering and given something back, but I want to give this one, and you keep it all. Here is my life. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. We sing it, but in good conscience, we probably shouldn't. All to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. We sing it, but in good conscience, we probably shouldn't. Are you tonight in good conscience consecrated? Can you in good conscience say that your verbal decree of surrender is a consuming call of God? Or is it a peace offering to appease for a time God and your parents and your youth pastor and others? Some of you make a joke of the ministry and its high calling. Some of you would be shocked at the number of Christians today that do drugs and almost unashamedly brag of sexual activity and drink alcohol and mock the ministry and their churches and Baptist distinctives and pretend to read the Bible and pray and listen to preaching. No wonder our churches are struggling and revival eludes us. I can almost guarantee you tonight that you have young people in this church who come to this church, but they're not consecrated to the things of God. I can almost guarantee you there are some college students who are coming to this college who say they love God, but they're not consecrated to the things of God. I'm going to tell you that maybe there's some deacons in this church, as good as those men are, some who've been here maybe a long time, but they're not consecrated to the things of God. Maybe some staff members who say, listen, we're here to serve God and give our lives to the ministry, but they're really not consecrated to the things of God. There's a reserve. There's a withhold. There's a limit. Can you in good conscience say you're consecrated? I'll tell you tonight that many would reveal the truth on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter and their texts, because most often those tell us the truth today. Would I be ashamed of thinking you weren't consecrated, falsely accusing you of those things? Or would you have to say tonight, guilty as charged? Here's our final thing quickly. Can you in good conscience say you're contending? I mean, earnestly struggling for the faith. Or have you, like the recipients of the book of Jude, allowed certain men to creep in unawares? Creepers, we use that term, young people use that term, creepers, to describe those who are predators and molesters that fits spirituality as well. There are people that, and ladies have a sixth sense. My wife and my daughter have a sixth sense about a guy. They'll say, that guy gives me the creeps. Ladies, would you agree tonight? You kind of got the sixth sense. Guy comes around you, young ladies, you know. That guy's a creep. Right there, he's a creep. Look at it, guilty. No, I'm kidding. But you know that, girls, don't you? There's just something about that guy. He gives you a signal. He looks, he speaks, he gets, there's something. I don't know. But you know, creepers. Do you know there are creepers that come into the church? They come in not with intention of wanting to serve the Lord and bringing the best of the things of God. They come in and they're looking to get a position. They're looking to find some kind of a power or control. There was a guy in the New Testament who followed Jesus. His name was Judas. He was a creeper. He came in thinking, hey, this guy's going to lead us against the Roman government. And when he overthrows, I'll be right there. I'm the guy holding the bag. I'll be the treasurer of the new government. I'll be a guy in power. I'll have authority. And he found out his kingdom is not to take over the Romans. It's God's kingdom, a spiritual kingdom of this world. And he said, I don't want any part of that. And he got out. And there are people who come into churches, and they're creepers. And sometimes they do come in. Young guys will come in, and they come in to find a good Christian girl who's kept herself pure and honest. And they'll come in, and they'll say, oh, the world's, oh yes, I want to get saved because I want to know Jesus. But their intention is, I know that girl won't date me unless she knows I'm saved, so I'll say the words. Or some girl will come in and do the same thing. Or a family will come in and say, you know what, we got a good business here in town, and we want to promote that business, so we'll get in that big church over there, and we'll meet a lot of people, and we'll get our name out and make some contacts. And I've seen people do that. I've seen people come in and say, you know, that preacher's a good guy, but, you know, that preacher's been there a long time, but. Be careful. Be careful. making mockery of what once was the standard. Many are turning the grace of God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 2:1, but there were false prophets also among people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them. There's some people on TV and radio and internet today who say they're of Jesus Christ, but we know different. They say the words, and they might have a following, but we know different. Paul nailed it when he wrote Titus 2:12, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. I want to tell you something. We often say, well, the world today is way worse than it used to be. Young people, I'm going to tell you something. I know you're sick of hearing. I know you're sick of hearing it, but I'm going to say it. Here's what we say. Here's what people my age say. When I was a kid, things were a lot better. Huh? Kids, you've heard that? Have you heard that? Kids, if you've heard that, raise your hand. Be honest with me. How many of you are tired of hearing that? Raise your hand. Smart Alex. Set you right up. I'm going to tell you what. I get tired of hearing it too. And I've said it. You know what? It's not true. I was watching a black and white cowboy western the other day. Great. Oh, those old movies. They don't make movies like that anymore. Those old movies, those black and white. John Wayne, shoot 'em up, cowboy. Oh, great movies. You're in a bar, drinking alcohol, with promiscuous women, doing things that good people ought not be doing. And we thought it was good because it was in black and white. Come on. Because the good guys wore a white hat and the bad guys wore a black hat. Yeah, that was good. That's good. You know, in the Old Testament, there was a place called Sodom and Gomorrah. We think homosexuality is a big problem today. That's the biggest thing we got to worry about today. They were worrying about it back then. You talk about safety. You talk about building walls and having guns and doing all those. Hey, listen, I believe in keeping our country safe. I believe that. But I'll tell you what, we think that, oh, this is the worst problem we've ever had. We've never known anything like this. It's been going on for thousands of years. It's nothing new. We think, oh, in the New Testament, must have been better times. Come on, read the New Testament. They had problems. The Corinth, they had problems. In the church, they had problems. Nothing's changed. Doesn't matter what time period you live in. Here's what we're to do. We're to be denying ungodliness and worldly lusts. And living soberly and righteously and godly. Can you in good conscience tonight say, preacher, that's me. I'm fighting against those things. Could I go to your accounts tonight? Could I check your computer tonight? Could I look at your phone tonight? Could I listen to your conversation outside of church tonight? Could I sit in the back seat of your car? Could I do that tonight? And in good conscience, you could say, preacher, I'm denying those things. I'm running from those things. I'm living soberly. Like a sober man would in good, clear conscience. And I'm living righteously, right unto God. And I'm living godly in this present world. Where is that Christianity today? Where are those who are willing to fight for the faith? Where are those that have that courage and stamina and fortitude? Are you here? Do we have any among us? Do we have a Deborah that will stand when wimps run? Can you say in good conscience that you're contending for the faith? That you're earnestly struggling to hold on to that doctrine, those biblical standards and time-honored preaching? Would this world be ashamed to say they're not? In good conscience, can you say, I am a born-again believer in the Lord Jesus Christ? Can you in good conscience say, I am consecrated to the cause of Jesus Christ? Can you tonight say in good conscience, I'm contending? If not, you're fake. You're a fraud, and you're a flat-out liar. Let today be the day that you come clean to Jesus Christ and be able to say, in good conscience, I'm changed. In good conscience, I'm the Christian that I ought to be. In good conscience, I am moving forward from this point to let people know what a real Christian is. In good conscience. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for this awesome church. Thank you for the man of God who has stood in this pulpit for many, many years and preached the truth. And Father, I pray tonight that every one of us would examine ourselves and be completely honest and transparent. That word has become a catchphrase today, transparency. We want to see through. We want to know the truth. Let us be transparent tonight. Father, with you looking through our lives into our hearts, Father, if we cannot tonight say in good conscience, I pray that we'd come to this altar tonight and say, God, help me. God, help me. I'm not saved. I need a personal Savior. I'm not consecrated. I'm not set apart. God, tonight I am not living that consistent Christian life, and I need to, and I know it. God, help us tonight not to wait even for the first note of the piano. Help us to step on and come immediately tonight, Father, to this altar and say, God, oh God, no more games, no more pretense. I'm going to be the real deal, Christianity. God, help us just to be transparent tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you stand to your feet, please? The piano begins to play. If you need to come to this altar tonight, would you come right now? This message spoke to your heart. The Holy Spirit's moving. Would you come right now? I don't need to plead with you tonight. I don't have to beg you to come tonight. Please come. Please come. Just do what the Holy Spirit's telling you. If you're not a Christian tonight, if you'll come and step out and just stand here for a second, I'll either come down and take your hand or somebody will meet you and help you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior tonight. If you're visiting tonight, or maybe you've come to this church for 20 years, why don't you come tonight and trust Christ as your personal Savior? Become that real deal Christian. Maybe you've gone to church, maybe you've been baptized, but you know tonight you're not saved. Would you come? Maybe tonight you'd say, I'm not consecrated. I'm not fully surrendered. I'm not giving all tonight. I'm giving a portion, but I'm not giving all. Or maybe tonight you come and say, I'm contending, preacher, but I'm not all that I should be. I want to contend for the faith. By standing there tonight, here's what you're saying to me. Look at me right now. Look at me if you're standing. Here's what you're saying. Preacher, I'm saved. Preacher, I am consecrated. Preacher, I am contending for the faith. Transparent, full transparency. That's what you're saying. God bless you. That's awesome. But if you're not tonight, if you're not those things, why don't you come and say, God, tonight I'm gonna give my life. You say, in front of all those people, if you can't do it in a church like this, you're never gonna do it. If you can't do it, people around you praying, you're not gonna do it. If that's what you're saying tonight, God bless you. But if you're not, come. Teenagers, come. Young adults, college-age students, seniors, married couples, Americans, and Canadians, Netherlands, come, come. God bless you.
Thank you, Brother Stone. Music will continue to play. You may still come down if you will. Folks, that's some real good preaching.